Good evening, good evening. It is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. I am excited to share space with you all tonight. It has been a week, maybe a couple of weeks. There's just a lot that has happened that I want to catch you guys up on. And then we are going to dive in to our final segment as it relates to trauma. All right, so come on in the room, guys. I'm gonna give it a few more minutes and then I'm gonna get started. I always tell y'all I'm not gonna be before you long, and sometimes that holds true, and then there's times where maybe not so much, but tonight I plan for that to hold true. So I'm gonna give it a few more minutes and then we are going to get started. But I am excited to share space with you guys tonight. I have missed you. I have missed you. So give it a few more minutes. All righty, guys. All righty. So hopefully people come on in. If not, can catch it on the replay. If you're new here, as I said, this is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, and this is a note from the principal's desk, okay? I see people joining, but I can't quite see who it is. So welcome. Excited to share space with you tonight. Just to give you guys an update, because there has been a lot going on. Recently, well, when we returned from fall break, we found out that we lost a former colleague as well as one of our eighth grade scholars. And as a school leader, as a mom, as a daughter, as a sister, as so many things, that is so like very disheartening when you come back with all these plans, right, for professional development and different things that you're going to do, and yet you receive news that's devastating as that. And so it really did take a toll on the school community. My heart continues to go out to the families from both the former colleague as well as that young soul, man. Like, you're just never ready for death. And then to hear when it's like a baby, a child, right? It does hit a little bit differently. And so I was holding space for a lot of people. And what I found in holding space for a lot of people is I had not dealt with my own feelings and emotions surrounding it. And so I postponed last week's episode in order to provide space for my own self to process those feelings. Hey, Tracy, I'm glad you're joining. And so I took the time to do that. And that's something that I want to encourage you all to do, especially during this holiday season. There is a lot happening in this world. There's a lot happening in people's day to day. And as the world is not showing as much kindness, right, we are called to be the light if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I want to encourage you as much as possible to be the light, right? To be the light when you can. And when you can't, hold space for yourself, whatever that looks like for you, to be able to sit with the emotions, to sit with the feelings so that they don't overtake you, okay? So that's something I wanted to share with you guys. It's been a lot of losses lately, but I, and there's no but, and I am grateful to God for all that he is continuing to do. And so tonight, guys, we are ending the series on trauma. A lot of what I'm going to talk about tonight comes from trauma-informed professional development. It comes from the work in that area that I've been able to do over the years. And so I just wanted to share some tidbits with families, with school communities, with the community, right? When it comes to trauma. And so we started just looking at what trauma was, what it, you know, how it impacts people, how it shows up. Then we moved into hearing from the men who are leaders within schools, black men on top of that, and the struggles and things that they've experienced while also navigating trauma. So they really brought some new insight in for us. And then we ended up with women, had women to the table, plethora, from having taught K all the way up to college, right? And that was a very in-depth conversation from a woman's perspective. All women who are leaders, who are business owners, who serve children in some capacity. And so that was a very beautiful sit down. And now I am ending it with you guys. And our topic tonight is trauma responses versus bad attitudes, right? And we all know that with trauma, this one really is the biggest misconceptions that we face in schools, that we face in homes, and even our adult relationships, right? And I want people to know and understand that there really is a difference between a trauma response to a situation and a bad attitude, right? Hey, Dr. Perkins, cousin Bessie Boo, thank you for joining. There is a difference between trauma responses and a bad attitude. And so if you guys see me looking down, it is because I'm trying to look at my notes. As I said, this comes from a lot of what I'll share will be from experiences, but also from being trauma informed, some of the training that I've received over the years. Okay. So like, let's just dig right on into it, what we actually already have. So some things that we do is we often mislabel what we don't understand, right? And we all know that this applies to every single facet of our lives, right? And the truth is this, every single disruptive behavior, y'all, is not defiance, okay? I'm gonna say that again. Every single disruptive behavior is not always defiance, right? Every emotional outburst is not always disrespect. And every withdrawal is not a disinterest, y'all. Sometimes it is trauma speaking. And so we know it to be true because you see it in children. You also see it in adults and our adult relationships. And you're just like, oh, they must not be feeling me. Or, you know, every time I turn around, there's a new issue or a new problem. And sometimes a lot of times we don't even think about the trauma aspect of things, right? What is causing this person to respond in such a way? All I did was say, can you make sure to wash the dishes that you messed up? And yet you already ready to like be in argument, full force, World War III, right? And you're like, I just asked you to wash the dishes, right? So where is that coming from? A lot of times we don't seek to understand where it's coming from. A lot of times we're just like, oh, no, you didn't. Who are you talking to? And before you know it, we're drawn in. And then now we're labeling them with a nasty attitude, bad attitude, or we're ending, you know, friendships and relationships and walking away instead of seeking to understand. And so I hope tonight that something I share will kind of just bring and shed new light in all of our relationships, right? Even though this is a note from the principal's desk, you know, you see it a lot with children, but I think we dismiss it also in adults. And let me tell you, well, we dismiss it in children. And let me tell you, what's not dealt with as a child does show up in adulthood, right? What you don't deal with as a child, it does show up in adulthood. And so we definitely want to shed light on this. And I hope something I said tonight will do that. All right. So what trauma responses can look like. Okay. So because trauma doesn't always show up in tears or visible hurt, right? That's what we look for. And sometimes it's just flat out anger, or shutting down when someone asks you a simple question, or like exploding. And you're like, what in the world? Like, how did we get as an educator, how do we get to throwing chairs? Like, Where did that come from, sweetheart? All I did was tell you to put the book up. And now we throwing chairs and I got to clear out the classroom, right? Or avoiding eye contact. And contingent upon what country you live in or where you live, you know, if you're not giving eye contact, that's a form of disrespect. In some countries, giving eye contact is a form of disrespect, right? But sometimes you'll have it where people just avoid eye contact or they just don't want to engage, right? They don't want to engage in anything. They don't want to talk, right? Or talking back, right? Because they feel unsafe or they feel threatened by something. And so, you know, talking back like, hey, I'm about to let you know, and you just, you know, oh y'all, here was a big one, and it kind of like hit me a little bit in my gut, because I have fallen in some cases in this category, is perfectionism rooted in fear of failure, right? We don't look at that as like trauma, but it really is. Think about those people who they end up really kind of losing their minds because they've been taught and they had so much pressure on them over time that they just develop like this perfectionism, and I have to get it right, and this has to be done, and if this isn't done, then oh my goodness, I'm gonna fail. So they go over and over and over and over because they have to make sure that it's right, and if it's not right, it like devastates them, right? Hello, that was me. And I say that was me because I'm talking about down to remote controls had to be lined up in a certain order, right? But I had to let that go and understand that, guess what? I'm going to make mistakes. To err is human. I'm going to make mistakes. There is not a perfect being here. And let me tell you, it took time. It did not happen overnight. It took time. But I'm so thankful to be free from that spirit. I call them spirit, that spirit of perfectionism that was really rooted in the fear of failure. Like, I cannot fail, right? You have sometimes where people overreact to certain situations. And I kind of gave that example about the dishes. And yet they going crazy. And you're like, wait a minute, I just asked, can you wash the dishes, right? So y'all know, adults and kids alike, we label them as a bad child or a problem adult. And we do, because we quick to throw labels, especially if you're in education, you real quick to throw a label on somebody. I talked about that a few weeks ago. And so when that happens, it's the mind's way of saying, I've been here before and I need to protect myself, right? And I get that, right? When you've already been in the situation and you begin to see familiar signs and different things, you're like, you know what? Let me go ahead and get this guard up, because I'm not going back down that road again, right? It's our way of protecting ourselves. And so I want to bring this to light, because we sometimes misinterpret, I'm not even gonna say sometimes, we often, right, misinterpret trauma as an attitude, right? And then we respond with consequences instead of compassion. Come on, where are all my educators in the room? We're all guilty of it. We are all guilty of it. Even yes, the favorite teacher, we're all guilty of it, right? You see it as disrespect. You see them as being rude. You see them as, I'm talking to you, but you done shut down. You see it as, you're talking back to me after I've already told you to go and do this. We see it as, I asked you to do this and now you're overreacting, and all those things lump into disrespect, disruptive behavior. And instead of showing compassion, instead of asking that question, what's going on? Like, what is really happening here? We end up instead throwing out some consequences. We instead throw out punishment, and we write that thing out. Hi, Minister Lucille, thank you for joining. Hey, Stephanie, thank you, boo, for joining. We definitely take that. We take that thing and we'll write those statements out to be real fluffy because they got to go. How dare them disrespect me? And not one time has that thought process been, I wonder what's going on here. And so we have to change our responses to things, right? That's right, Tracy. That is, you are exactly right. And we have to change some things. We really do. We're already living in a messed up world. Let's face it. It's always been messed up, but it seems to me to be getting worse, right? And so we have to find different ways to respond when we begin to see an attitude, or what we believe to be an attitude. And really, it's that baby putting that wall up because trauma trauma has activated in them, and now they're getting ready. You know, they don't know really how to respond, right? And the same thing with adults. We focus on punishment instead of support. We get frustrated, right? Instead of just seeking to understand, right? Hear me. I'm not excusing anyone's behavior, because sometimes it is a nasty attitude, right? But what I want us to do, and what I hope to do, is to push us to seek to understand first, then make a determination after. Not go ahead and determine what it's going to be, right? And then seek to understand after, right? All right. So I want us to take a deeper look, if we can, and just thinking about some ways that we can truly deal or support someone that has trauma, right? Because we all do in some shape, form, or fashion. We need to learn to de-escalate. And I just kind of talked about that, de-escalating a situation instead of intensifying it. I remember when I used to work for the Department of Justice, and one of my supervisor wrote in my eval that I escalate situations. I don't de-escalate situations. And I was in my early 20s, and so fresh out of college, and I'm just like, escalate situations? What you mean? These police officers, sheriffs, stuff ain't gonna be talking to me like that crazy. What you mean? I don't know how to de-escalate. Well, they should de-escalate and not, right? And I couldn't understand what that lady was talking about. What you mean? But as I got older, I understood. Because sometimes you don't always have to respond the same with the same energy that someone gave you. And that's what we do. We get pulled right on into the mess with them. And then it's like, man, I probably could have said something different, or it's some regret or feelings or whatever afterwards. But had we just taken the time to be like, you know what? I'm not going there with you. I'm not going there with you. Or seek other ways to get to de-escalate. Not they throwing out shots, and now you got to go throw out shots. And you already know that shots game. Hey, LaToya Marie, $1.73. Thank you for joining, sis. Now it's taking shots and see who dig in the deepest, right? Now, you hurt me, I'm about to hurt you. That's why your mama cooking bad, right? Like, we just really be going, children do it all the time. But to see adults, it is just like, man, we all look ridiculous when we do that. We got to think about ways that we can support instead of shaming them, right? Throwing their mess in their face instead of being supportive. Teaching them instead of criticizing. A lot of times we just go straight to the criticizing. That's it. That's it. Instead of teaching them. And then a lot of times we reject instead of trying to restore. Now, here's something I want to say about the restoring instead of rejecting piece that I just said. Do not confuse this with you having to stay. And now I'm talking to the adults. In situations where people are disrespecting you, not honoring your boundaries, not honoring the work and the healing journey that you're on, and they keep just giving you their mess, thinking that you're supposed to carry that. Mm-mm, honey. Baby, at some point, when you have mentored, when you have taught, when you have prayed, when you have poured in, and people just still want to stay in their mess, sometimes, baby, you let them stay in their mess, and you just continue to pray for them from a distance. What I have found with that restore instead of reject piece is, no, we don't want to throw anyone away or throw anyone to the wolves. But you have people who love drama. There really are people who, because of their own trauma, they don't know what peace looks like. And so to be around peace, to experience peace, it's a lot for them. And so they create drama. They create situations because they just need chaos. They function better in chaos. If that is not your journey, honey, then you get off that shit with them. You don't stay going. You don't keep riding that same ship if you are in a different journey, okay? So I'm not telling you to throw anyone to the wolves, okay? I'm talking about adults' relationships now. I'm not telling you to throw anyone to the wolves. However, after you know that you've done all that you can do for that person, you can love them from a distance, but you do not have to allow people to keep throwing their mess on you and you just be the holder of their mess and there's no changes, there's nothing happening. They just, no, we're not going to do that. When it comes to children, though, we should be more inclined and quicker when it comes to trying to restore them instead of just brushing them off and label them as, oh, they got a bad attitude or that's a bad child, right? Instead of throwing those labels, we should be a little bit more understanding, definitely seeking to understand, showing a lot more compassion, willingness to teach them, right? Instead of criticizing, and then of course, to restore them, all right? We often talk about how we want to break cycles, and I just preached on this two Mondays ago, right? We want to break the cycles. We're the cycle breaker, right? But this is how you actually break the cycle. The tools that I just gave you, that's how you break the cycles, guys, not just within the school community, not just within the communities itself, but also like in your family. That's how you break the cycles. You stop responding the same way you've always done and you try something different. You try to support instead of throwing shame, throwing people's guilt and stuff back in their face. You de-escalate a situation instead of trying to be there. Oh, I match energy. I used to say that. I match energy, right? Well, what does that do for us if we match it? Everybody matching energy, honey, you're going to have a mess. And so if we really take these tools that our trauma-informed teaches us, strategies that they teach us, these are ways that you can actually change the trajectory of your family, okay? So I want us to think about how we can reframe our approach to when it comes to trauma and how we respond to people. So like trauma-informed, and now I'm talking like from a trauma-informed lens, again, from that PD, it definitely requires intentionality, right? Here's what that looks like. You pause before reacting. Ask what's behind the behavior. Okay. Lead with curiosity. Don't assume. We love to assume something, but lead with curiosity, right? Like, you know, you really are curious about what is going on. And so you lead with curiosity. Okay. Separate the behavior from the person. That's just like when we talk about even in ministry, and we talk about it, like it's even in the Bible, right? What we wrestle against what? We're definitely not wrestling against like the people, the person. Right, the flesh and blood, it's that mess behind it, them spirits and those demons and principalities behind the person, right? And so we often, because you see the person, y'all, so naturally you like, oh no, you didn't just say that to me, or no, you didn't just do that to me. And it's not even the person ain't even themselves, right? It's the spirit operating behind it. And so we have to learn that when we're dealing and we're looking at trauma, learn to look at it from the lens of separating the behavior from the person. Separate the behavior from the person, okay? Build consistency with them and provide safety. Because one thing about trauma is when a person begins to feel safe, they soften. They calm down, right? When they begin to feel safe. But we have to create conditions for people to feel safe. Now I'm coming back to my educators, and I'm talking about coming even to my community leaders, right? You want certain things to happen within your schools, within your classrooms, within the community, right? We have to create those conditions where children feel safe, where adults feel safe to talk. A lot of times when crimes and stuff happen, people do not feel safe to share out. Why? Right? That should tell you something. That means at some point in their life, they trusted someone who did not honor what they said that they were going to do, right? And people found themselves in a tighter situation. And so people began to build those walls, right? If you want walls to come down for people, you have to build consistency and create a safety net, be a safety net for them, okay? Especially when it comes to children, y'all. I tell people all the time, I live this. Even with my own children, I live this, right? Consistency is everything. Children thrive in consistency, right? I learned from when my son was early that if I didn't tell him his day, yes, blessings, Apostle Ma, thank you for joining. I learned from an early age that if I didn't tell him, you know, what the schedule was going to be for the day, right? And I would just throw in stuff. It was a mess. It was a meltdown. And so I learned that strategy. And I learned it also as an educator myself, teaching middle school students, even middle school. Yes, you're 10, 11, 12, 13 year olds. High schoolers, children love consistency. And so as much as possible, create consistency. Yes, Tracy, they look for that. As much as possible, create a consistent environment for your children, for your grandchildren, and watch how some things begin to shift. I am telling you what I know from experience, 19 years in the game of education, right? Consistency will win, and it'll take you very far, all right? Offer emotional language when kids or adults don't have the words, right? Help them to be able to name it. Help them to be able to name that feeling, name what is going on, right? A lot of words have power, guys. And so a lot of times, if we get caught up in the frustration ourselves, we begin just spewing out anything, right? You're, again, not de-escalating the situation. We escalate it, right? And then that causes major problems. But definitely try to help them with the words, like the language behind what they're experiencing. And then talk to them, talk them through it, right? That's when you're dealing with trauma. Provide space instead of pushing confrontation. Again, being a safe space for people. We all want certain things, but here's what I want to tell you. You got to be that same person that's being what you're expecting from other people, right? We want this, and they have to have this, and they need to be a great communicator. Well, guess what, friend? You have to be a great communicator as well, right? And so I want you to think about that as we're going through, or as we finish talking about this. Provide the space instead of pushing the confrontation, okay? Now hear me, I want to say this again. I'm not excusing any behavior, but I do hope that something I've said tonight will help explain what you see when you're dealing with trauma versus that of a bad attitude, okay? The thing about trauma is it doesn't expire with age, y'all. Trauma does not expire with age. We think people should have grown up from that now. You should have already dealt with that by now. You 35 years old, you 60 years old, and you still dealing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Trauma does not expire with age. Some of the bad attitudes you see in grown folks, that's your colleagues, that's your family, that's your partners, your friendships, even leaders, y'all, are childhood wounds wearing adult clothes. I'm gonna say that again. Some of the bad attitudes that you see in grown folks is simply childhood wounds wearing adult clothes. There, we have children labeled with ID mild, right? That means, and I'm just putting it in layman terms, you may have a child who in stature and age is 14, 15 years old, but mentally they 6. All you see is the stature and the age, but they have the mind of a 6-year-old. So the responses you end up getting, you're like, what in the world is wrong? That's something my grandchild would do, or that's something my baby would do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Same applies for adults. You see behaviors, right? And it's just because the wounds have not healed. The trauma has not been dealt with. And that's why I push and I preach and I talk often about get very close with God. Y'all know this is my podcast. So I'm, you know, God coming in the conversation. We got to allow him to do that work and get rid of some stuff and heal some stuff on the inside of us so that we can give better responses when we're offended, or better responses when something happens to us. We're not sitting there throwing temper tantrums and throwing chairs and cussing people out because they asked you to wash the dishes, right? We got to deal with that stuff. But I want to shed light on, sometimes it's not a bad attitude, y'all. Sometimes it's trauma. And I'm getting ready to come to a close. Y'all, healing isn't linear. It's a real process. And our posture should be patience and understanding. My apostle has preached, oh my gosh, she said it for years. Let patience have her perfect work. We don't like patience because of, you know, we want things now and we want stuff to happen now. And we want people to be healed now and we want to go through healing now because healing is ugly. And you could actually be doing just fine. And then out of the blue, a smell comes by. And now you're crying boohoo because it brought back a memory, right? And a lot of times it's not even just childhood wounds you're healing from. You're healing and mourning from those friendships that are no longer. You're healing and mourning from the job that you thought you were going to get, but you didn't get, or you did get it and then you lost it, right? They had to let you go. You're healing from not being able to have children, right? Or having children and not being where you thought you would be in life to be able to support those children, right? There's a lot of different things that can cause trauma, and there's a lot of different things that we are healing from. It's not always childhood based, right? And so I just want to like remind us of that our posture needs to be patience and understanding, because we want it as we're healing, right? We have to show that and share this with someone else, especially children, y'all, okay? And so as I close out, I want you to remember that being trauma-informed is not a strategy. It's a mindset, and it's a way of seeing people in a softer way. It's a way of having better understanding as you're dealing with people, okay? We have to stop labeling pain, y'all, as an attitude. We have to stop labeling people's pain as an attitude. And we must create the kind of environment where we have both children. I don't even like to call them, I say scholars, where our scholars and our adults can learn, they can grow, they can feel, they can thrive, they can breathe. We have to create those conditions, right? We have to create those conditions. Now hear me, and then I'm closing. I tell my staff, because I used to feel like as a leader, I had to wear it. Like if the culture was wrong, then oh my goodness, what am I doing as a leader? Something's not being done right. But let me tell you, that's not true. I've learned, and what I say to my staff now is we all own culture. That's not a one man or one person job. We all own it, and you create the weather. We create the weather. You choose how you show up in spaces. You choose how you show up in spaces, right? You choose what you allow to impact you, right? We choose. And so we can either make the choice to say that despite what is happening and what is going on, I choose joy. I choose peace. I choose happiness, right? I choose to focus on what I can control and not on what I can't control. I choose to focus on who I can control, which is myself, and who I can't. Because guess what? Newsflash for those of you who think you can just control children. You can't. Children are still making decisions. Right? Baby, I gave you the advice. I put it out there. Now, what you do with that information is on you. I'm trying to stop you so you don't have to learn the hard way like I did, right? But at the end of the day, the choice is still yours, right? And so I want to thank you guys for taking this journey with me on this trauma series. I've received so much love and feedback from everyone, and you want more. You want more of it. But I am being released to let go of the trauma series. And so I appreciate you guys. It is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. Stay tuned next Friday, 5:30 p.m., right here on this blue app. And I'll be back with another topic. See ya. Peace.